Pulling up links. Pulling up links. Pulling up links. Pulling up links tech show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters across the sea, pre- and post-ops. Welcome to the Linkslink Tech Show for June 30th, 2004. Great evening today. Not only is it the release date for Spider-Man 2, but another fun-filled episode of the Tech Show. We are going to play our little promo beforehand, and then we'll roll right into exciting things. Take it away, Link.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
You are listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yeah, we're back. After that kind of short promo, could have been longer, but we're trying to keep things a little more snappier for you. Sitting across from Link Fezzedin.
Hi.
And Alan Messler.
Hello.
For another exciting night. And
As we start off slow over here, because yeah. I just don't, after the pre- and post-op comment there, I don't know how to like top that one.
Well, you know, I was wondering... When I said good evening, ladies and gentlemen, do we actually have any females besides your wife that listens to the show? I'm curious to know.
Well, your wife kind of listens from downstairs
yeah,
in the
while
living room.
She's doing other things. Like
if we yell loud enough, you know.
So if you're a female and you listen to the show, let us know, because we'd be interested in hearing about what our demographic is. If it's just all
Democrat. Listener, okay. Democrat. He's using big words tonight.
I'm pulling out the thesaurus. I got the little Woo-hoo! Online thesaurus.
He's been off for off on vacation here, so he's like been reading.
That's what
dictionary.
It is. See, he's not suffering from the same brain drain syndrome that Alan and I are, because Dan's been on vacation. So
I've been pickled in Yingling and Labatt's for a couple days now. The kids are gone, and everything's going pretty smooth.
Yeah.
So you guys have anything to start off with tonight? Before we make it a very special episode?
Before you make it a very special episode. I don't know.
Spider-Man 2 was released today.
You can go ahead and
talk about Spider-Man 2. Phenomenal movie. Phenomenal. If you liked the first one, this one is even better. And how could they do that? It's probably the best comic book movie I have ever seen. The special effects are spectacular. The characters were wonderful. The acting was superb. It is definitely a must-see. You will not be disappointed.
If you say so, Dan. Just as long as it's better than the Hulk.
Miles and miles better than the Hulk.
Miles and miles better.
It is excellent. It was fantastic. Phenomenal. Dr. Octopus, right on the money.
Doc Ock, here we go.
Here we go with what?
So how were Doc Ock's tentacles? Were they, like, realistic? second.
Oh, yeah. The CGI was spot on. I mean, it was really, really good. It was... It blew the cartoons away. I mean, you know how, like, a lot of times you can't do a superhero movie right, but you can do a cartoon really well?
Right.
I mean, this was light years beyond the cartoons, too. I mean, Dr. Octopus and his tentacles, they did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go see that, man. I'll probably... Over this holiday weekend, because I'll be sequestered in upstate New York.
There you go.
With absolutely nothing to do but look at the rolling Adirondack foothills. Woo-hoo. Cool.
Be a nice
nothing,
little
nothing
trip.
To do besides look out the back of my apartment.
Now, what would be nice, I guess, is, of course, there's going to be a third one, is... to have even more supervillains in it on the third one. That would be really cool. Cause,
have them all gang up.
They gave you a hint as to who's going to be... Well, actually, two hints as to who's probably going to be
one. Did you have more than just Doc Ock in this one? Or?
No. It was just Doc Ock. But there's two big hints as to who's going to be in the third one. Or what characters. Because I think there's going to be more than one character. But I don't want to give it away. I mean, of course, there was a hint in the first one of the lizard and with Dr. Connors. And Dr. Connors makes more of a appearance in this episode. So I would suspect that the lizard will probably be in the third one. And there's also going to be an additional villain, which it's not really that hard to figure out who it's going to be.
Yes, but can they top this one?
I don't know.
That's the question.
That is going to be the question. Fantastic. Fantastic movie.
I'm glad you liked it. I'm also glad that you liked the first one.
Yes. It was nice because we took my mom to see it, and she never saw the first one, so I had we had them over Monday night to watch the first one. And unfortunately, as we all sat down at 9 o'clock to watch it, I couldn't find my DVD. I have no idea where it is. That is the only one that's missing, was that DVD. So... The wife went out to...
I don't know. Is it on any of the piles of CDs?
No, it's not in this room. The wife went out...
If it was, you'd never find it. Yes.
The room is scattered with like CDs from like everywhere you look.
Well, the wife went out to the video store to rent it, and of course, it's not available. It's all been rented out. So as a last-ditch effort, I called Lincoln, who came through with a copy. Of course, and I knew he would. Dun. And we didn't start it till about 10:45, but man, we got through it. It was only almost 2 hours late, but we all had a good time. Fun, fun, fun.
Awesome. Or something.
That's it.
At least I'm not like as sick as I was last week. I'm still coughing a little bit, but I can almost breathe and stand upright at this point. Which makes for a more entertaining show when I can, you know, speak and contribute something other than...
You could breathe heavy.
Gagging into the microphone.
You could have just made hoagies for the show.
Yeah. The hoagie man!
Not again.
I heard Catwoman has been brought up on the chat line, and there was a trailer for Catwoman. I heard that movie is really testing badly, and they had to reshoot the last half hour. It's just getting horrible reviews.
It just looks lame, period.
Yeah, but is anybody actually going to go see that for the, you know, for the movie, or just for, like, Halle Berry in a skin-tight...
Yeah, that's the only reason people watch it.
Yeah, but Halle Berry's nice-looking, but I'm not going to spend my hard-earned $5.25 for the matinee to go see her run around in a leather outfit.
I'm not. They couldn't make the movie good enough for me to go see it.
Now, if Alan was running around in a leather outfit, I'd be there.
Well, that'd be different.
If Alan was running around in a leather outfit, you'd be in chains.
Ooh. Sounds like a challenge.
This freaking
sick. We're just reading more and more every week.
Over there now. Yeah. He's excited. Anything else?
Anything else?
Were you just going to sit there and chew your gum?
No, it's a cough drop, man.
Man, water bottle be any bigger there? Looks like you're drinking out of a mason jar.
pretty much. It's like 32 ounces.
What makes you think it's water, yeah, man?
It's a moonshine.
It's moonshine.
Hooch.
That's how I stay up this late.
That's why you ever pass out. You ever notice how like he gets more and more talkative towards the end of the hour show? Once he gets half of that shine bottle down, man, he's ready to talk about anything. You know?
Did you ever see that stuff at a liquor store called moonshine that's sold in actual?
I have some at home, yeah.
Yeah, that stuff's nasty.
Oh, it's awesome, man.
It's nasty.
It's awesome.
Like
you just have
turpentine.
To be a, you have to be a fan of good whiskey, that's all. Grow a little hair on your chest. Arrgh.
Yeah.
It'll also, and it's
make
funny
you go
that
blind.
It's funny that you mentioned that because when I got my first jar of it, I opened it up to do a couple of shots.
More than one jar, huh?
I opened it up to do a couple of shots, and I spilled some because you know it's in a mason jar, it's hard to pour. I spilled some on my floor, and I have hardwood floors. Dude, it took the varnish off. Of my hardwood floors. Clean, man. It was clean, clean. You could lick off of that spot. It was so clean.
But did you try lighting it on fire?
No, I didn't. You know, I didn't.
Why not?
I should try and do that.
It's 4th of July. Let's light things on fire.
Yeah.
Pour it on your dog's tail and let it go.
Sure. She'll love that.
Speaking
yeah.
of dogs, we did have Shasta put down this past week.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Unfortunately.
Shasta the tech show dog.
Our tech show mascot is gone, and in her honor, Dan has decided to stink up the room himself this week.
Yeah, he's killing us all here.
That's what popcorn does it.
That is not popcorn.
Ask my wife. That's
I don't
from
know
the popcorn.
What. No popcorn could make
popcorn
a smell
beer.
Like
flavor
that,
popcorn.
Popcorn and beer. Carmike popcorn kills my digestive jelly. Mix some beer in there with it. Woo, yeah. What movie popcorn?
That stuff has been popped for like 3 months. They just keep pouring the big 50-pound bag in there between shows. Look, it's brand new and fresh.
Just put it under that little heat lamp.
Because all you got to do is like pop just a little bit, then make it look good, get the smell going.
That works for me.
Dan's
just styrofoam.
Dan's definitely got the smell going. All right,
digesting styrofoam.
It was interesting. When we went to the movie today, my wife opened the door onto her foot, and it scraped open her big toe, when she held the door open. She was in a lot of pain. But the cool thing was, it caused us to be a little late to get into the theater, so they gave us tickets for the 1:30 show instead of the 1 o'clock show. I guess so we wouldn't sue for anything, but they were nice. So out of pain came happiness. My happiness, of course, and that's all that matters. It's my happiness.
Sure.
When the wife
you
is
say so.
I know that's
it's
what you mean.
Me.
Me, yes.
Me.
Me culture.
Well, I'll tell you what I did. I actually got, remember back a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Alan's USB Wi-Fi dongle, the D-Link DWL-122 he's got?
Yep.
He's been using it. And then, of course, you went right out and got one so that you could run it on Gentoo on your Mac laptop. Did you get that running under OS X as well?
No, I never installed the driver.
Ah. Well, I had one the whole time, and I, of course, couldn't get it running on my laptop because I'm running Slackware 9.0, which is not hot plug enabled. They didn't start hot plug until 9.1. So, a couple weeks ago, I ran into this really good deal on a used laptop. I got it for my daughter, and I put Slackware 9.1 on there and messed around with it a little bit, and I got my DWL-122 working, and figured out that most of my problem was that you cannot like leave the damn thing plugged in when you turn the laptop on. This is something that you have the laptop running and you plug in so that the hot plug system works, and then it'll connect right up. If you already have it plugged in, it doesn't grab it through hot plug, and then sometimes it does work and sometimes it doesn't. And ta-da! But yeah, so I hooked my daughter all up with this, you know. This 400 megahertz laptop, and she's happy with that, and playing all kinds of stuff on there. And I just wanted to mention how easy it is to actually get you know, to get a 10-year-old hooked on using Linux for their operating system. I really didn't do a whole lot to this thing. Stock Slackware 9.1 install. I picked Fluxbox for the window manager, just because it's a little bit lighter, you know, and save a little time and speed where you can. And then the menu system in Fluxbox is really, really easy to configure. It's just a text file. And you go in and grab your favorite editor, go in and edit .fluxbox/menu in your home directory, and you can put in whatever the hell you want. For the most part, they have just about everything in there that she likes, except for a couple of games that run under KDE, like the K Mahjong.
Say Mahjong, yeah.
K Pat, which is the Patience one, or the Solitaire.
Oh, Solitaire, okay.
And Shaizen Show, which is it uses like Mahjong tiles, but it's like a memory game. You ever play Memory? You know, when you're a little kid with the cards on it, flip them over. It's sort of like this, only it's only they don't do the whole memory thing. They actually look for different pairs.
Okay.
On the screen. It's sort of like a really big Mahjong board sort of thing. But cross between that and, you know, Memory or something like that. Anyway, they really, my wife and her, my wife and my daughter are completely hooked on these games. And those are the ones that she wanted to run, so I stuck them on there. Along with, she's used, you know, for a long time now, she's used Abbey Word for her word processing. She writes some paper for school or something like that. And what else does she use? Yeah, like Firefox to browse the web and AOL or Game. Gnome's
Game,
AOL
yeah.
Instant Messenger client. Even though I don't have her set up on there yet, I have it available and she's, you know. Of course, she thinks that would be the coolest thing in the world for me to get her on Instant Messenger and get her an email address, which is not going to happen anytime soon. But that, and she was really, you know, and I went in and like changed the background for her. Just got some girly kitty kind of background thing going on, and she can get, you know, she gets around on there, no problem at all. And this is not any more difficult to her than running Windows, because she uses my father-in-law's Windows machine at his house all the time. Plays, you know, games and serves the web and stuff like that.
The one I set up for my boss's daughter, she's only like 10, and
did 9.1 too, right? Yeah, Slackware 9.1.
She has no problem at all with it.
There's no problem. See, and I can't figure out why all these people are saying that Linux is so hard to use. I mean, I stuck a brand new laptop in front of a 10-year-old. And she's happy as pie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no problem. The only thing I did was say, you know, press the right mouse button to get the menu. And once they hit that right mouse button, you know, everything's right in the menu.
It's all ready to go.
Zoom, they were, you know, that was it. You know, they already know how, you know, Linux, it's no different than Microsoft. You want to exit out the program, you click the little X up in a corner thing. And it's not a problem, man. They're just looking for the menu. The only thing different is, like, the start menu isn't down in the corner. Now, if I switched her to Ice Window Manager, yeah. I could even solve that.
Yeah, because that would be down. Yeah, it's
right.
Down,
well, it would look just,
that's down in the
sure, it would look almost exactly the same. But, I mean, granted, you don't, like, get all those, you can't run all the Windows games under Linux, but I believe that my daughter actually... Damn!
Sorry. I thought the wind was going to blow that one away. I apologize.
You're cutting the cheese, man. I can't. It's not the smell. It's the burning of my eyes, man.
Right.
Woo!
As it slowly gets over to my corner. Yeah,
she doesn't, you know, she doesn't have all the Windows games, but a lot of the stuff that she likes to do at 10 years old, they like to play the little games that they have on the websites now.
The Java games.
Flash media games and the Java games, stuff like that. So she'll play them, and she really likes, like I said, the Shaizen Show and Mahjong and that kind of stuff, the little card games and things like that, on the Linux box, and you know, that's like a thing for her. So plus, you know, I really don't have to worry about her virus infecting the computer and stuff like that. It worked out really good that way. And that's right. I do remember you saying that you fixed your boss's daughter up with it.
Yeah, the only thing I have left to do down there is, you know, they've got all new printers, and there's some of the Lexmarks that there just are no drivers for right now.
Right.
Lexmark. Got to set it up. I think we can XAML or something like that. That
they can print over to the one Windows box in the house and do it that way. I just haven't had a chance to go over and set it up yet.
I guess the flip side to your argument is it's not hard to use it, but it might be difficult for somebody to update or add to it.
I don't know if it would be difficult to update because you could use Swaret.
No, well, yeah, I mean, if they wanted to add software that's not installed to it or change some configurations or whatever.
Well, if as long as there's a package available, it's really easy to do.
They need some instruction. I guess that would be the only thing.
It's just, it's different, I think. I don't think it really is any harder than using Windows. I think it's just different, you know? Windows, it might be a little bit easier using Windows because you can just click on the file, you know, and do the whole run it from the internet kind of thing, and it runs a setup program and installs your program and things like that. But that is a really poor way to do things anyway because it causes so many security problems on your computer, you know.
Aye, aye. So righty, right.
It's better to do a little bit different kind of model thing, I guess, or something.
That's the way it is.
Arr.
And it's something you don't have
like
to
drinking.
Come back and wipe out every couple of months and reinstall, and it doesn't come to a grinding halt one day, mysteriously.
Sure, that's
rebooting
I won't have to touch this thing at all, and it'll keep running just like this for.
It'll go and go and go and go and go. The pieces can fly off the actual laptop, and it can get all.
How is Frankenstein?
Yeah, how is Frankenstein? Yeah, that's a good.
Well, that's what I mean. We're on. Did I tell that we're on the third keyboard now? Third external keyboard.
Another
really?
One.
Yeah, we're on a USB keyboard now. Yeah. Go figure, huh? Third keyboard.
How do you kill the external ones?
I have no idea how it's done. I just know that it just doesn't work anymore. Like someone's tap dancing on it, I guess.
You should just like take Frankenstein and like mount it in an end table or something. And just
that's
put,
what
like,
I keep saying,
keyboard,
you know?
And like yeah, the monitor on top and just run with it.
It's going to turn into a desktop system.
Pretty soon he's going to have to screw it down to all to his coffee table in order to keep it together,
keep
you know?
The pieces on it, yeah.
The crack in the screen keeps getting just a little bigger. Just a little bigger. Nice little black splotch on the lower left-hand side.
I just can't. But you know, that really is a testament to Dell, though. I can't believe the damn thing is still running.
Yeah.
That is, it's like.
Figure.
It's like you chain that laptop to the back of a bumper.
And just keep running
and just
with it.
Drove back and forth to work for a week with it on there or something.
Takes a lick and it keeps on ticking.
It's amazing.
Now, you know, actually, I found when I took it apart to replace the, to repair, or attempt to repair the problem when the soda got into it, that one of the batteries, terminals in the battery was bent, so I bent it back, and now I have both batteries going full force.
Oh.
Yeah, because the second battery wasn't running, and now it's, that's the way it is.
That someday is cool. I'll get a battery for mine, or at least one that goes over 5 minutes.
Well, you went out and got the, your,
Yeah, I got the inverter over the weekend.
Your power inverter for your car.
Where'd you get that at?
Walmart.
How much did that run you?
34, I think it was.
And how well does it work?
No problem with it.
Keeps it running, no problem?
Yeah, it ran the laptop for the hour or so that I had it up without any problem at all.
Good deal.
It's like 175 watts, so you know the laptop really doesn't take a whole lot out of it.
175 watts? Dude, that's enough to like run a microwave in your car.
I think it's just below the microwave one.
How many devices you got running off of that thing? Or does it only do one?
Well, I guess you can put a power strip on it. It's only got one plug, but hell, we can put a power strip on it.
I say we build a 19-inch rack in his back seat, fill a freaking thing up.
Well, it'll be getting close.
Now here's an interesting thing. Here's a question. Okay. That brings up a good point, a nice little rack. Now, We're going to roll into another topic right now. Is that okay? Were you done with it?
Go right ahead, yeah.
The war driving stuff.
Yeah.
That you and I both started doing some war driving this week about the same time. And, you know, Alan is taking it a step further by actually providing these wonderful maps.
I actually did some maps while we were here, while you were out at the going to get soda and stuff.
Right.
I did a couple of maps from Kismet. They have a program on there called GPS Map, which takes, there's like six different places you can get maps from. But it'll map your route out, and it'll map the nodes, the power, what it sees as powers, little circles over everything. We find stuff. It looked really interesting.
And it looks great. I saw one of them that you were working on over there. I mean, you need a GPS for that, right?
Yeah, you need a GPS to do all that.
It's just phenomenal.
Now, what kind of GPS do you have? And
I have a, I've had it for so long. It's a Garmin, and I can't remember the model number off the top of my head.
Is it a serial connected GPS or
yeah,
a USB?
No, it's a serial port.
How much that run you?
I bought it like 7 years ago. It was like $600.
$600?
That was back when it first started coming out. It was
but
one of those geek toys I had
now.
To have. You can buy one now for like $140, $150. It's really good.
Still out of my price range. I'll just steal Alan's.
Yeah.
But anyway, have you moved on to the PPNL over broadband?
Not
or
yet. I called them up on Monday, and they said they're still setting it up in my area. So
they're lying, though, because we checked out his stuff, and he's got, like, all kinds of...
Well, like I said, the hour that I did the other day, I picked up, like, 76 sites in probably 10 miles of driving. Now, almost half of those were PPL boxes. And I did get an address out of a couple of them, but driving, you know, I didn't get a chance to stop or anything because I don't pay attention to it till later on when I go back and look at the map. And plus, Kismet crashed a couple times on me, so I drove around without actually doing anything, only because my wife wasn't paying attention and really want to help me out with it anyways.
Damn her.
You're a geek. You're driving around with a laptop in your car. I was like, well, yes, I am. Thank you.
And?
So, you know, I didn't get a chance to stop in any of
those. Did you tell her that you're thinking about pulling the passenger seat out for that new laptop mount, right?
So you said that you did get an address from some of the people.
There was a couple ones that when I went back and looked at the logs, did supply an address.
Because there's one at the end of my street that I picked up.
Okay.
And I was going to go, when I get the opportunity down there, and see if I can get an address off of it. Which makes me wonder, if and when they get this entire area wired up, could you theoretically just keep driving around and...
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Would it connect you to all those? Would you be able to maintain?
You'd be able to roll over from
station
to
station. And, I mean, I know.
I guess if I ever get it, it'll be something I'll have to try.
Yeah, how did that come off?
Nice
little
picture there.
Yeah. Okay, we see what Dan does in his spare time.
This is what's really on Dan's computer here.
Wonder what
biker babe.
Quick, take a screenshot so we can put it on the show.
Random pictures off the web. Holy mackerel. I didn't know it was pulling
they're
porn.
They're not random.
Pictures.
They're all coming from
pulling,
the same.
It's pulling random pictures out of your internet cache. That's what.
No, because I've never gone to a place. I've never seen that picture before in my life.
Yeah.
Who's that cat there? Is there a kitten down there?
You need to talk to your wife then, I think.
I see a cat jumping or something. No, on the screen.
No, I don't
see
it.
It's probably behind his laptop. You can't see it. Anyway, what we're talking about is...
I see a face on the side there, too, right under that guy's...
Dan's got this screensaver that's, like, evidently pulling images from the internet.
Somewhere.
Or his cache file.
It's not from my... I've never seen that picture before.
There appears to be...
It's definitely not coming out of mine, so...
There appears to be some level of pornography going on here.
Now, I am not going to deny that I've looked at some pornographic pictures on my computer. I think everybody has, but I've never seen
just
that picture
remember
before
that one
in
picture.
My life.
Yeah, he just never saw that one picture, that's all.
Yes, I haven't seen that
the other
one
ones
yet.
I all have, but...
He was flipping through too fast to catch that one.
Is that the little swirly Intel thing down at the bottom there?
Where?
Swirly Intel
thing. No, keep going all the way... down at the bottom to the right, all the way to the right. Yeah, what is that?
I have no clue.
But above it looks like somebody's face.
Yeah, it's like a baby's face here. Which
okay.
And there's a face right there.
Now go diagonal down to the left No, you went too far. Go to baby's face. Now go down just a little bit. Is that a cat right there?
No, it's some guy with something in front of his face. Right there.
Oh. It looks like a cat standing on its hind legs with a tail.
It's right next to the biker babe picture.
What's the word there? If you go diagonal but up. So no, it's back from where I, no.
Emo kid. And GP batteries, powering a better tomorrow.
Wow, aren't you glad you don't have a screensaver like that on your machine at work? That could be bad.
Wait, are those two guys kissing in the upper corner?
Yeah, they're exchanging a little tongue.
That's really disgusting.
Is that you, Link?
No, it's not me. He's too skinny.
Damn.
All right, back to the... No, that's an interesting picture over there, too.
Still like
just a head.
A good moment or two's entertainment, I guess.
Back to the war driving.
Seeing the weird screensaver crap that Dan always has running on his computer over there.
I think next week we'd like to start going through that map and finding out the places. Maybe we can make that a regular
regular occurrence. Whenever you want to go.
We could drive around and see what's open and map that out. And we can...
There you go, folks. The Linux Link Tech Show, mapping out the free wireless access points in the Lehigh Valley area.
Did you go up to the Jacksonville Road area?
No, I didn't.
Because there's five access points over there. There's Stoke Park 1, 2, and then there's Jacksonville.
Stoke Park, I found
1, 2, and 3, or I found 1, 2, and 4. I would assume there's a third one somewhere.
Yeah,
and that looks like to be like not somebody, like an individual person's. It looks like to be something. That's
could be over by the golf course. Could be Stokes Park.
It was at that intersection, right there, Jacksonville and Stokes Park. And I don't know, is that the golf course there? There's that little corral.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know the area.
So I just figured there's got to be something in there that there's five access points that don't seem to be like somebody's household, but they're all open. They seem to be. There's no WEP.
Yeah, that was surprising to me, how many that I found that most of them were open out of the ones I found. Let me get back to my site.
Yeah, but like I don't run WEP on mine either.
You know what I mean?
But mine's not open. Like
it doesn't mean that you could get in or anything.
Yeah, I have mine limited to a select few MAC addresses that will run, but there's no WEP on it.
All right, but when
I got 49 different sites, 38 of them have no WEP. 10 of the no web ones got an address. 15 of the 49 sites were still named Linksys.
Yeah, I like that.
And all of them were open, and 6 of them gave me addresses.
Nifty.
So I'd be interested, because I was using a Mac Stumbler, because I was driving around with my tie book.
Right.
And I wasn't looking at catching addresses. So I have Kismet on the Mac version of Kismet.
That's what was hard for me, because like I said, my wife was holding the laptop, so basically all I did was just drive around and look every once in a while to make sure Kismet hadn't crashed or anything, and just whenever it did, I pulled over, I restarted everything, drove on for a little bit more, but I wasn't paying attention to here's an address, let me try to get in or anything like that. Not that I really want to anyways, because that's not really what I was looking for. I was just curious.
Well, if you're
going to
do that, then you need
around.
To like not do war driving and do like war walking.
Yeah, you need to walk more. Yes.
You know,
I think parking out in front of someone's house just to see whether or not
that
you
might
get any,
that
make,
might
make
draw
cause
a little bit of attention. Yeah.
Look at that little blue car with that white antenna sticking out of the top of it. I wonder what that is.
Hello, police officer. I think there's a big man with red hair doing drugs in front of my house.
Yes, we don't really want to do that.
There's somebody in the other seat that keeps bobbing their head down.
There you go, Dan. All right. Hey, are we ready for our intermission song?
Yes.
It's intermission time.
And then
time.
We can come back with a very special...
A special story.
A very special story.
A special story by Dan Washko. The song. The song this week is called Final My Country. By Boys Suck. Picked out especially for your listening pleasure by Daniel Washko.
an order of rank or of stature. If you'll paint me a rainbow to hide my true colors, ship me to front lines, just don't ask me to bother. Lace up my shoes or to wear something leather, cause I will not die for my country. And I will not die for my country. So don't buy me some clothing to impress all the HRs, or tell me that it will look good on my CV. Don't put me up, clean me up, sell my bad habits, or sit me down to relax in front of a TV. Cause I will not die for my country. And I will not die for my country. So I'll put up a scarecrow to scare off my neighbors, and to have something for the birds to lie down upon. In school I learned not to talk to strangers, and that's why I'm scared not to meet anyone. And I will not die for my country. And I will not die for my country. Forget my name like a tied up and knotted string. It's just my way, you know that it's how I'm grappling with hurling through space in an orbit unending, and thinking I matter. Yeah, I know it's pretending, but I will not die for my country. And I will not die. My country. So I'll put up a colored cloth that represents borders to the angel of death. Knows not to deport me, and my neighbor's the enemy, cause he can't afford one. They've slaughtered his family, now they're taking his firstborn. And I will not die for my country. And I will not die for my country. And you can scare me with smart bombs, you can scare me with anthrax, you can scare me with vague threats and foreign attacks, mandate allegiance and increase income tax, but I will not die for my country. And I will not die for peace. And I will not die for some false idea of freedom.
Hi, I'm Matt from Lugger Radio in the UK.
Oh, that is so jolly.
Who was that?
It's CBBC presenter.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm interviewing Blue Peacocks.
I was doing my impression.
Anyway, we're Lug Radio.
I was doing my impression of Dan there because, you know,
it looks like
he's jolly when he does his. No, it's Alan who looks like Hack. But Dan's
which is
one
looks like me?
Alan.
He doesn't look like me.
Lincoln's got the tall hat, so you remember.
Is his name actually Lincoln?
Lincoln.
Is his surname Lincoln?
No, his surname's Fester.
His name's not Lincoln. Lincoln. His name's Lincoln Abraham.
Link on.
The link on to Linux. Link,
anyway,
link,
again,
link, link,
we're
link,
Lug Radio.
Yeah, we're Lug Radio over in the UK. That's lugradio.org. Come along to our website.
We're British as well. We drink. We like drinking.
Arr! They like drinking.
Cave! It's all on the point of
Yar!
Arr!
So anyway, we're going to Lug Radio. Because we've only been given about 30 seconds. So come and listen to Lug Radio. Lugradio.org. I'm sure you'll like it. If you like the Linux link tech link show, I'm sure you'll like Lug Radio.
Link. And that's it, boys and girls. Or something. Dan's over there chewing on the microphone again.
like burping.
All right. So now we can continue on with a very special tech show. Yes?
Just don't fart again, man.
Oh, that's coming.
Don't fart, please.
That's inevitable.
Man, the tech show is going to get cut short in a minute.
That's like asking it not to rain.
We're going to have to, like, throw Dan in a bathroom or something.
It's a natural disaster, man. Come on.
And possibly next week we'll be conducting this from the front porch.
Yeah.
Wireless mics.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, a couple wireless mics will do it off the porch, and then he can, you know.
I can bring a couple launchers.
He can blow ass all night long, and it won't bother anybody.
I think the neighbors will.
We might even light some and take pictures. You never know.
Did you ever light a fart?
No, I didn't, but I watched. I watched one of my roommates do it one time, and he lit it and burned his butt.
It's hard to do.
So,
Dan's been practicing for a long time.
I've tried it. It's hard.
Don't try this at home, kids.
It's hard to coordinate it. Yeah. You should have two people. One person lighting it, the other person farting.
No, I don't think so.
Can you just have like one of those long, like, you know, the campfire lighters, the long matches?
Well, that's not the point. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's getting it back there so you don't burn yourself in the process of doing it.
Okay.
You know, if you're going to do it, in front of a mirror, then you got to worry about that whole reversing your, the whole aspect that you have to reverse your movement.
How do we always degenerate to the conversation of, like, poop or farts or something like that?
I don't know.
Is you something like set in stone? And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, Dan. It's because he's sitting over there going.
Hey, this some not.
Hey, let's talk about this new subject.
I wondered why the walls in this room were green.
Oh, and I was thinking about the paint peeling. You know,
the paint peeling off the ceiling there. He's curling paint. Oh my God.
You know how you get that. That intestinal distress when you can start feeling it, like, going up your body and into your neck, and
your teeth
start to hurt a little bit there, and you start to get a little sweaty, getting to that stage.
Hurt like that.
Oh, damn movie theater popcorn. Anyway.
You're blaming on anything, man.
And tonight we got a very important, very personal, very sad topic to discuss.
And that would be?
That would be a sad story of a man who only wanted to do good things and to make everybody happy and to take some responsibility and to make life just a little bit better for everybody and wanted to do his job to the best of his abilities and yet was let down with some fault of his own, but yet put too much trust in a system that was doomed to fail from the beginning.
You have been practicing this speech for a while.
I have been thinking about it for the past couple of days. It was a sad event. It was a tragic event.
It was a
dark
and stormy night.
Well, no, actually it was a nice day. But I wouldn't know because I was inside the whole time, ripping my hair out, trying to figure out what was going on. Anyway, at work on Friday, while I was struggling with a new software component that was coming in and figuring out why multiple users weren't able to connect to it on our network, it came to my attention that a person's computer had mysteriously rebooted after they received an error message. So my first inclination would be just restart your machine and let me know if it happens again.
Windows, right?
Do I have to mention what it was?
It's Windows.
Yes.
It has to be, because the first thing you said is, the first thing I thought of was just reboot your computer.
How did it give you away? Anyway, a few minutes later, they came
that
back in.
Talking about viruses or something.
Right? I came back in and said, it happened again. And I said, all right, well, we'll get somebody up here to look at it, because I was in the middle of doing something. And then a second person came in and said, look, my machine just shut itself off. And here I am thinking, oh, great. I mean, there's no other explanation to what happened here. I can figure it out right now. How did a virus or a worm get through our system? Well, I couldn't actually get to it for about an hour, but when I did, I saw the error message. It came up with some kind of error on the LSA shell. So I do a Google search, which is the best tool to use.
Right.
when you need some information. I do a Google search, and there's not a whole lot out there about this error message, but a few places indicated it's possible that the machine could be infected with the Sasser worm. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, we have an antivirus software running, and it updates itself every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, and when people turn on their machines, they get the latest updates and patches. How could this have broken through? We haven't had a virus problem in almost 2 years. What the heck is going on?
How could it happen?
I don't understand. So I set about trying to remove this virus, and it is a big pain in the butt. What you have to do, what we ultimately learned after trial, is you got to find a removal tool, which, who is it? Netware Associates, Symantec, or Net Associates, whoever they are now. Norton had a utility to do it. So I pulled this down, I ran it, said it wiped it off. At the same time, I tried to update the machine. Now, you have anywhere from approximately 5 minutes to an undisclosed amount of time before the machine reboots itself or some just reboots. And it's not set in stone, because I've had a machine stay on for 20 minutes and I've had a machine reboot after 5 minutes. But trying to get the patches
just
installed...
Just like an arbitrary amount of time?
I guess so. Trying to run this this tool and then make sure that the machine's up to date on patches was really difficult. But once I got it to the point that it was updated and ran the tool, I could not get rid of this worm. It just kept coming back. I later learned, after a couple other tries, that you have to turn off the system recovery utility on Windows XP because it hides itself in the system recovery. So you remove it, it's going to keep reinfecting itself.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful, huh? Yeah. But the more important question is, how the hell did this thing get through to begin with? So I figure, all right, we have 4 machines in this office alone that it's popping up on. It's starting to pop up in other buildings. I mean, this in a matter of an hour or so, this thing was just all over our network. And what was we were lucky about is, with school being out, there wasn't a lot of people that we're in using the computers, but it was still a big mess that we had to fix. So I went and I decided to manually install the software, the antivirus software again, and it pulled it down, installed it like it should, and lo and behold, it's still 3 months out of date, and I couldn't figure this out. Why is this not working? Someone who we offer the antivirus to our home users also. It's a remote update from our servers, and it will keep everybody up to date, both inside the district and outside the district.
Right.
Now, somebody had reported to me and said, I don't think my machine at home is updating. So sure enough, this was like a week ago. I went back to the software that runs. It's called eManager from Sophos. I pulled it up, and I looked at the logs, and the logs said everything was running fine. It was pulling down the updates every day at 5 a.m., and it said the logs were running fine, and it was updating all our central repositories. Because each building goes to a single repository to get the updates, and it said all that stuff was running perfect. No indication that there was a problem. So basically, I said to that person, look, just if you see that if you can't manually update it, remove it and reinstall it again, and you know, let me know if that solves the problem. Well, I didn't hear back from the person, so I figured, hey, the log said everything's working fine. I haven't heard otherwise. Hey, it looks all right. Now, I use at work, 95% of my time is spent either on OS X or Linux box, so I don't use Windows anymore.
So you don't have any problems with your viruses
and
stuff like that.
You know, and that was one of my downfalls right there. I should have investigated it further.
It's not a downfall. That's a point to bring up to your boss. You know, oh, gee, how come everybody in every building is all infected and I'm still working on my computers, right?
Well, you know, that's and I admit my culpability in this. So that day, when I finally get things squared away, I get back and I try to manually update the SIDs from the eManager software. I start getting error messages. It won't let me do it for some reason. And I'm looking at the permissions. All the permissions are fine. I'm rebooting the machine. I did everything I could think of, and it still was not updating itself. It would not go out to the SIDs. So I had to manually copy the latest updates up to the SIDs. That worked fine. After that, we were up and running. The machines were pulling down the latest versions. It was catching the Sasser worm. Everything was good. All right? And, you know, I'm trying to figure out how the heck this could happen. How could it not update, but yet at the same time tell me it is updating? Where is the fault in this whole system? So I called Sophos, and I couldn't get through to him until the end of the day. Finally, I was able to get through. I talked to the guy online. We walked through some stuff, and it was just not updating. So he's like, okay, why don't you update it to the latest version? I'm like, well, I thought it automatically updated itself. He's like, no, the eManager doesn't update itself. You have to update it yourself. So I pulled down the latest updates and updated. I had to reconfigure it, and it was finally, it was up and running again and updating it the way it should be. But so now I'm left. We're left with this mess that the virus got through our network and was infecting machines, but at the same time, all our home users that were using our antivirus and depended on us were left in a lurch because their systems weren't being updated, and they're more susceptible probably at home than we are inside the network. Because there's absolutely no control. So
right, but isn't, like, don't they own some of the responsibility for their own machines, you know?
Well, they do, but
they're not school district machines.
They're
right?
not school district machines, but we have provided them a service, and the service failed on our end.
Right. Were you charging for the service?
We were not charging for the service, but it doesn't change the fact.
Tough patootie.
It doesn't change the fact that
you had a bunch of home users that say, you're telling them that their virus scanner is up to date, and in reality it wasn't.
Right. It doesn't change the fact that I let people down. And for the first time in my life, I felt like what every single Microsoft employee must feel like on a daily basis. I felt terrible. I had to send out an email and tell everybody, look, you need to make sure that you update immediately. We have the latest patches up there. Everything should be running the way it is. Update your system. And I look back at this situation, and I say to myself, okay, let's look at the areas that failed. Why did I fail to do what I needed to do to keep it up to date? Well, first off, I depended solely on the log files. I should have gone to a machine sometime on a regular basis and looked at the version it was running and make sure it was up to date. I should have done that on a regular basis, and I will do that now on a weekly basis to make sure that that part is looking fine. I will not depend upon the log files on the software that tells me everything is running smoothly. Second, updates. Windows updates are critical. Now, it was about a year ago that my opinion about Windows updates being critical, yeah, they were, but I was always told that you should update a machine in a production environment. You should update a machine and make sure the patches are not going to break anything before you
release it to the world.
Before you deploy it to your entire organization. That's not really acceptable anymore. You don't have the time to necessarily do that. Because if you don't get that exploit patched right away, look what happens. In a matter of in less than an hour, this thing ripped through our whole network. It was in all of the buildings in our district. So I made sure that every machine I visited was going to automatically update at 12 noon every day for the latest patches. Mm-hmm. You cannot depend upon antivirus, and you cannot depend upon the Windows, you know, not patching. And my concern is,
of course, only if you run Windows.
Right. And my concern is, even if I set it to automatically patch, is it going to patch? Is it going to work? Will it be up to the latest patches? So now, what we have to do is every time we visit a machine, my recommendation is, first off, you check the antivirus software, and then you run Windows Update to make sure it's up to the latest patches. You cannot depend on this software.
Right.
Not at all. And it's disappointing. And I said to myself, to my wife, I said, you know, in order to run this software, you need to have an antivirus, you need to have a spyware application, you need to have a firewall. You need to make sure it is automatically going to be patched every day. And you cannot run Outlook or Internet Explorer. That's six components if you include Outlook and Internet Explorer.
But you missed one.
You've
got to have two firewalls. You have to have a firewall on your company, between your company and the outside Internet. and
not Windows.
Microsoft recommends that you have a firewall running on every computer.
Right, that's what I mean. You need a firewall.
So there's two.
Right.
There's your company firewall, and there's a firewall on the individual machine, because they want to make sure that in just in case one machine does get infected, that it can't push any of this crap out to the rest of the machines. With all of those problems and that list of qualifications and stuff that you have to do, why the hell do people run that software, you know? Why do they run Windows? Why don't they... I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Because the world runs Windows.
And you know what was interesting? That...
I keep hearing people say that, but, you know, they have to prove it.
Well, yeah, prove it, yeah, but you know, most of your business stuff...
Suits run Windows. That's
well,
what the
that,
problem
that's exactly,
is.
That's exactly is the problem. Yes.
What is interesting is... We have those Apple laptops that since they were put in, or any of our Apple machines, they have not run the update on those machines to update to the latest patches. And never, never have we had an infiltration or an infection or any problems with those machines that would cause, well, any problems whatsoever, let alone a problem that would jeopardize our entire network.
Right.
And that's shameful. And I've learned my lesson the hard way, and from... Friday forward, I wholeheartedly will never, ever recommend or support the use of Microsoft products anywhere.
Yeah.
Never. I'm done. I've been burned too many times. People ask me, what should I get, a Gateway or a Dell? Go Apple.
Yep.
If that's what you're going to do,
That's exactly what I tell them, too. People say, well, I want to have something and I can just plug in and use at home. And I tell them, do not buy a PC. And they say, why? And I say, because you're going to run Windows on it, aren't you? And they, yep, don't. Go out and buy an Apple.
The prices aren't that much different anymore.
Oh, yes, they are, so man. It's horrendously different.
Well,
but
still.
There's some low-end Apples
there's some low-end
price of a mid-range
you
PC.
For a price of a mid-range PC, you can go out and you can get a
you just won't find a $499
decent,
one.
Yeah, you can go out and get a decent low-end like PowerBook or something like that, right? Which is great for what most people do. You know what I mean? And if they go with Apple, Apple supports Microsoft Office, right? They have Microsoft Office for Apple. There you go. That's what everybody wants anyway, right? They want to be able to use that stupid Microsoft Office.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it runs on Mac OS or it runs on OS 10 or something like that, well, what the hell? Go get an Apple because they don't break down and die all the time.
Now, look at it this way. It's going to cost a little more money, but let's factor in the human error here. And that it can happen to the best of us, and eventually it will. That machine is going to get compromised. That machine is going to come to a grinding halt, and it's going to take you time.
And then you're losing
and
money.
And your time
That's right.
is money.
Yep.
Now, wouldn't you rather know pretty much with some guarantee that your data is not going to mysteriously be jeopardized? Well, case in point, look at that new exploit for Internet Explorer.
The latest one that doesn't even have a patch yet.
Right, that disguises itself as a browser helper.
Browser helper, yeah.
Yeah. That it steals...
Records your passwords and crap.
Records your passwords, it records your banking information.
Oh, yeah.
In a form that before it's encrypted through SSL and sends it to a third party. I mean, come on, how many more security risks are we going to accept from this company? You know, I was telling my wife about it. She's like, eventually it's going to be death by a thousand cuts for them, because not one exploit has been enough that people have said that's it.
But
there's
the other
just
problem is
so many.
People have gotten used to it, though.
Yeah, I think I think that's what it is.
People accept the PC doesn't work.
They accept the fact that, you know, these kind of things happen on a regular basis. I don't know why or what has conditioned them people to accept the fact that they need to reboot their computer 5 times a day and they need to reinstall their operating system 4 times a month. I can't figure that out at all, because like I never have to do that, and computers were never designed for that kind of crap. But somehow Microsoft has leached its way into the school systems, Dan.
It's leached its way in everywhere.
Into your school system. It's leached its way in there, and it's teaching these children from a young age that they need to reboot their computers every day.
Rebooting is normal.
They need to reinstall their software 4 times a month.
And there has been some of the meetings that people have said, one of the nice things about XP is you should plug in just about any device, and it runs.
No,
it doesn't. But you know what? What happens when you plug in that device and the machine crashes and you can't get that device to ever come back again?
Yep.
What do you do then? Because I had that problem.
You have to reinstall. Oh, wait, you can't reinstall XP without calling up and getting a new key, right?
Well, if you have the key, it should be no problem. I don't know. I just the systems at work that we have.
I didn't have that problem because my laptop here has XP. And initially there was a number you had to type in.
Talk into your microphone.
What's that?
Talk into your microphone.
Yeah, don't talk in links here. Talk into the microphone.
Well, I gotta like look over here. I'm talking to the microphone. But anyways,
we need to get him one of those little collar mics, you know?
No, I need to get a microphone that points toward you guys instead of behind you on it. But the second time I installed it, I never was asked for any codes or anything. It was just basically you plugged in the CD ID and the ID code that comes along with it, but they never, it never came up saying you've got to call for any special codes or anything like I was expecting to have to do.
Huh.
So I don't know what the hell.
I know people that have complained about that a lot because they, they'll buy a computer or their old computers, they buy XP for it, and they'll run XP on it and decide, oh yeah, well it's kind of slow on this. 2.4 gigahertz, so I'll have to go out and get me a 3.5 gigahertz to run it on, because it's really slow on a 2.4 gigahertz. Why, I don't know. But so they'll go out and they'll buy themselves a brand new computer at a computer show, and now put this XP that they bought on the new computer, and then after the registration 30 days or whatever the hell it is, I don't know. Anyway, it starts barking at them that they're using an illegal copy, and they have to call and get some registration number doohickey. And then they get a hold of Microsoft people who argue with them for an hour, you know. Oh, well, we already show you. It probably depends on, like, if you're connected to the net or something with it. I don't know. When you do the install. Maybe. I don't know.
I have no clue. I just dropped
it. Perhaps I'm just perhaps I'm just blowing smoke out of my ass. I don't know. I really don't use XP if I can help it at all, because it's god-awful slow. So I would just stick with my Linux. And NetBSD, by the way, NetBSD rocks. If you run Linux, you should, by all means, try NetBSD. So there. And Dan even has his NetBSD t-shirt I got him.
NetBSD, blah, blah, blah.
NetBSD t-shirt on.
Yeah, anything but that crap produced out there.
That's right.
One
no,
Microsoft
no
way.
No Redmond software.
It's horrible. It is shameful. And they should be, I tell you what, I felt like, I still feel like crap, and I don't understand why, how any Microsoft employee can walk around with pride and a smile on their face and have the
really
nerve.
Well.
Yeah, they get paid really well.
And have the nerve. To show up at organizations like, for instance, the Lehigh Valley Computer Users Group, touting their new version of Windows and how it is much more secure and much more stable than the previous version, with a smile on their face.
Yep.
How they could look people in the eyes and lie so horribly.
They're training to be lawyers.
It is shameful.
That's right. That's where they go from Redmond right to Washington, D.C. and become politicians.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is shameful, and they should be ashamed of themselves, and boo-hooey on you, Microsoft. Boo-hooey on you. You should be ashamed, you piece of crap-peddling, monopolistic dumpster.
Yeah.
I want my...
What Dan said.
Yeah, I want my computers back. I want my internet back.
What Dan said, yeah.
I want the place I work at to run smoothly, not with this pipe dream.
You
got to
convince them that they need to run, Linux or Mac OS then. OS 10, Mac OS, whatever,
You know, I'm all for either one of those.
DOS. DOS ran. Well,
Free DOS.
Yeah, Free DOS is cool, man. Have you guys tried that yet?
No, I haven't tried.
Free DOS is not bad. I use Free DOS with...
I was 10 years old. I was reading on Slashdot last week, I think it was.
DOS. You download DOS EMU for Linux.
Mm-hmm.
Comes with two packages. There's the DOS EMU tarball. You can download the binary tarballs. DOS EMU and Free DOS. Untar them both in the same directory. You go in and start like your xDOS EMU executable. Pops right up. FreeDOS is already running for you and installed. Runs like a top, man. I use that at work. We do a lot of database manipulation with DB3 databases, FoxPro databases. And, of course, FoxPro does not run on Linux. But...
Isn't that a Microsoft product?
Yes, it is. But... Microsoft did not make it, though. Okay, let's just, you know. Okay, and Microsoft made it. It wouldn't work.
They acquired
it.
They embraced and extended.
They didn't enhance shit. They bought it.
They're innovative.
But
they innovated.
Yeah,
they innovated the functionality right out of it.
They innovated somebody's paycheck is what it was. But, no, we use DB3 databases, FoxPro databases, and Linux does not have the resources to get into those databases, except for one program that I found is called CDBF, which will let you, I don't think it'll let you put anything in a database, but it'll let you extract data out of it and view it. You know, you can view the whole database or you can run simple queries and push the data out to a text file or something. The other alternative was I finally figured out that I could run DOS EMU with FreeDOS on it, and I could copy my FoxPro for DOS directory off of a DOS computer or off of my Novell network onto my FreeDOS DOS EMU system, and it works fantastic. It's perfect, you know. And so that's my, you know, that's the way that I actually run FoxPro on Linux now, which is, it just is cool. Plus, it maps a network drive to your D drive. Like, your home directory is mapped to D. So you can copy whatever database you're working on to your home directory and then start up xDOS DMU, go to the D drive and run FoxPro on your database and, you know, you can run the FoxPro programs or whatever the hell you made on it. It's really cool.
Here's another rant. All right. Microsoft has listened to everybody's complaints in the business environment about having to get the systems patched. And if you have ever had to patch multiple workstations, you know that some of those workstations connect lickety-split to the Microsoft update. Some of them takes 15 minutes. Sometimes it dies halfway through the download.
Yep.
It's sporadic. You don't know. And it can be overloaded, but particularly when a new patch comes out. So they decided to produce a product which will allow you to download the patches from one location and distribute them throughout your entire environment. That's a good idea, right? Why the hell does it need IIS to run? That's what I want to know. Why do you need to run a web server to run to distribute these patches? And why are you going to open up another hole in your network?
Because they have to have a method of distribution. So they have to, you know, they want to make sure that they're running IIS. Plus, it's another product that they can run.
Another product they can sell you, that's why.
Right. Well, I don't know if they can sell it, because IIS comes with NT and
sell you
ME
the support
and
to it.
Windows 2000 and stuff like that. Yeah, they can sell you support for sure.
Shameful.
Yep. That's horrible.
All you need is wget.
Yeah.
In a single location.
Well, guys, we gotta be done on this episode here pretty soon, right? It's 10 after 10 Eastern Standard Time, the United States of America.
My machine just died because I didn't have it plugged in.
Bethlehem. Does anybody know? Just a quick question for y'all before we cut this short. Does anybody know what show it is?
39.
It's a tech show.
40? 39.
It's a tech show.
That's right. Alan is paying attention. It is show 39. And I didn't want to make mention of that because I wanted to quickly congratulate the Lug Radio guys who are talking about how wonderful it is that they have come up with Show 11. And so...
Has it been released yet?
Show 11. Show 10, right? Show 10 and Show 11. Anyway, I wanted to congratulate them because they've been doing this for quite a while, too. And we have actually... This is Show 39 for us. So that's... quite an accomplishment, and next week we need to, like, party down or something, man.
Slug Radio was released this past week, too.
Three, right?
Yeah, three.
Three.
Yeah.
Some good stuff. Hard to understand as ever, but I love to listen to it, you know?
And
the guys are hysterical.
They're talking about...
They probably think the same thing of us, though, you know?
They're talking about pulling everything together.
Oh, you can't understand the freaking Americans.
They're talking about pulling everything together.
Right.
Into the open radio network.
Yes.
And we're working through the initial stages of that. And
right.
Where it's going to be and who's going to do what. And
well, that's why, you know, I keep seeing this and I keep, like, forwarding off and waiting for you to respond to the messages because you already have all this stuff set up, you know?
Right. And I offered to host everything, and that's fine by me. Whatever anybody else wants to do. So we'll see where that's going to get going. Pull it all together.
I didn't want to, like, give anybody any ideas or my thoughts and opinions until I heard from you because I don't want to step on your toes. I mean, you know, you've been working hard to do this stuff.
That's what it's here for, you know. So. We can all get together and ring-a-ding-ding. Hey.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool to have all the, you know, to have the forums all together and
right.
Be pretty nifty.
It'd be a sweet, sweet thing. We'll see what happens. We're coordinating that as we speak.
Yes, indeed. What Dan said.
And then do some war driving this week. And
sounds good for
trying
me.
To pull people away from that piece of crap.
Yep.
They call Windows.
No more Windows. Microsoft. We are boycotting Microsoft. Right?
That's my word.
Boycotting Microsoft.
I will continue to fight the good fight. But I'm going to go take a dump first.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to us here on the Linux Link Tech Show. I'm Link.
I'm Dan.
Alan.
We'll be back next week.
That's right. Good
night. For episode number 40.
For good 40. Night. Woo.
Linux Link Tech Show. Pulling the flink. Pulling the flink tech show.